show, man.
Right.
Y'all tired today? I'm sorry. Oh, I'm just a little bit numb this morning, too. I was up till about, what was it, 12:30, 1 o'clock. I finished working on, almost got finished with tonight's lesson. That was the last one I had to finish. And I don't know, it was somewhere between 12:30 and 1 o'clock this morning. I stopped and thought, well, I'll finish it before I go to class in the morning. And Vicki roused, and she thought it was morning, and she was ready to get up and get started. I said, you got some more hours to sleep yet. So I got up this morning. The reason I ran off down the hall, I went in the office and got stuff run off for tonight, so I got all that finished. So that's a good thing. If I just had Sunday now, Mark, that'll be today and tomorrow. It's been delightful to be with you all, and of course, especially I'm thrilled that Vicki can be here. And I, like Mark, I'm grateful that we have had an opportunity to do these classes, because I think we address some things that, as the old saying is, that where the rubber meets the road in life. And sometimes we think that the gospel is only about the things about the plan of salvation, about the church. And folks, let me tell you, the gospel message is so important for us every day. And it's got such a great message for us every day. And so, today's an interesting topic, because we talk about facing life's challenges, preparing for my death. The reality is that you and I are on a rendezvous with death. You realize from the time a child's born, we're headed toward dying. Question for you. How do you think most people view just the word death?
Shrink back
from it? That's going to happen to all those old people, not me. I think that's true. What else? How do people view the word death?
It's pretty final in a sense. I don't see how some people without the hope of loving you, how they live their lives facing the prospect of death, because that's pretty final. No communion, like that.
Yeah, and you know what? That's what I was saying yesterday about those of us who teach from the Bible, especially places like Ecclesiastes. Understand that in that book, when Solomon is writing that as a materialist, somebody who's not following God, in essence, just, I push God out of my life. Understand that for people like that, death is absolute finality. That's it. There's nothing more.
As a young teenager, we're all wrong to do this. We don't fear this. Because we've got the attitude we're always going to be here.
Young people, isn't it amazing you watch young people and some of the stupid things they do? And it's like they have no grasp. I can be gone. Now, there's probably all of us have done some things, Joe, that we wonder how do we ever make it anyway. But we're on a rendezvous with death. When's it going to happen? Don't know. You know, you hear preachers stand in the pulpit sometimes and make statements, we need to be prepared always because death can happen any time. We talked a little bit about some of Vicki's situation. 7 years ago, when Vicki was diagnosed with cancer, we were told that probably 6 months was kind of an out time frame. I'm going to tell you, as we were living that, I wouldn't have given you a nickel for her to live 6 months. Last year in October, her doctor told her that when she first got sick, he didn't think she'd live 6 weeks. And so the reality is, you never know. June, I think it was the 5th this year, we have a family reunion in Lexington every year for my dad's family. Uncle George, some of you know Uncle George, and others in the family. And so we came into Lexington on Friday night, stayed over on Man of War right there at Interstate 75, I think, goes through there. And so in the morning we got up, and we meet out at Jacobson Park, if any of you know where Jacobson Park is, down on what they call in Lexington, Athens, Boonesboro Road. I don't know how they get Athens out of Athens, but anyway, it's always interesting. But it's the next exit south of Man of War. And so I said to my son and my son-in-law, I said, guys, come go with me. Let's go run down the park. It's 5 or 6 miles. Let's run down there and let's put picnic table covers on the picnic tables. And so we got in the car. We were right there by the interstate. Went down the red light, went down the ramp, and started south. I happened to look up in my rearview mirror, and I saw a policeman. There's a lot of traffic, and a policeman pulled a guy over. If you know through Lexington there, they've got this big high concrete barrier between the north and the south lanes. It's like, I think, 8 lanes there. And a policeman pulled a guy over against that barrier. You know, usually they'll pull him off to the right-hand side of the road. This guy pulled him off over the barrier. And I said to the boys, I said, well, a cop got him one there. And it's a big, long straight stretch, probably a mile and a half, 2 miles, and then you kind of go around a little curve. And so it was out of sight. Wouldn't think anything about it. We got down to that exit, and I pulled up the ramp. And there was a lady sitting in front of me, and the light was red. And we were going to turn right and go back toward Lexington to the park. And so the person in front of me didn't go right on red, just sat there. So we were sitting there, and I was telling the boys about my grandmother and what a spunky little lady she was, and about her a wild dog coming in the house. And she heard there was a wild dog in the area, and my grandfather was gone. And that dog tried to come in the house, and she put a chair right in the front door. And that dog jumped that chair, and she shot it with a shotgun right there in the house. And so I was telling the guys about that. And all of a sudden, it's hard to describe how it happened, but all of a sudden, you know what, you're going down the interstate, and you kind of maybe drift off a little bit, and you get on those rumble strips, and they go, you know, like that? All of a sudden, there was that noise multiplied by about 10 times. You didn't have time to react. And a car went flying right beside of us. Got up to the light, tried to turn right, couldn't do it. Then tried to go across the road and go down the ramp. Lost control, went flying up in the air. And the top of the car literally wham into the limestone wall and fell down, and the guy was dead instantly. If you're ever in a situation like that, it happens so fast, it's like it's slow motion, but you can't believe what's happening. Car in front of us pulled on to the right and went on. I pulled over and stopped, and about that time, two police cars came flying. There were police cars coming from inside of Lexington, and I told the guys, this guy's been running from something. He robbed the Fifth Third Bank down on Richmond Road. Got out on the interstate trying to flee from the police. He was from Richmond. 30 years old. Instantly dead. But you know what? I don't suspect he missed us over 2 or 3 feet going alongside of us. My daughter-in-law said that afternoon, she said, you know, she said, Vicki and our daughter Amy and I, our daughter-in-law, could have all been widows that quickly. And folks, it's just reality of how fast death can occur. You all know the verses that talk about death and its quickness. 1 Peter 1:24, the grass withers and its flower falls away, and he's describing what death is for us. Psalm 90 verses 5 and 6, you carry them away like a flood. They're like a sleep. In the morning, they're like grass that grows up. In the morning it flourishes, and grows up in the evening. It's cut down and it withers. The days of our years are 70 years. Our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they're 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. It's soon cut off, and we fly away. Psalm 90, verse 10. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed to man once to die, and after that the judgment. You may have asked yourself, a lot of people ask the question, you know, do people die twice? You hear people talk about near-death experiences. Do we die more than once, yes or no? No. We die once. Psalm 89, verse 48. What man can live and see death? Can he deliver his life from the power of the grave? Can you and I keep ourselves from dying while people are trying to do everything in the world to keep from dying? You might as well get ready for it and quit trying to fight it. But you know, death is such an interesting dichotomy. On the one hand, it is an imminent threat, and yet it seems so far away. It's going to happen to everybody else, but not me. Death itself, the word, can be so haunting to all of us. It's one of those words that people don't want to talk about. It's one of those words that just causes fear to go up your spine. The reality is, folks, that it's vital for us to prepare for our death. And the question is today, what will help us to prepare for death, and so we as Christians can face it in the right way? My question is, how can we face death with confidence instead of haunting terror? So, we're going to talk about that today. What can we do? How can we face it in a way that we're prepared for it, and in a way that doesn't scare us to death? Well, let's talk about preparation. I'm going to start today by saying to you that I think understanding death helps tremendously. Now, you may say, what are you talking about? How can I understand death? Hadn't done it. Have you ever thought about what it's going to be like to die? I'd like to hear your thoughts. Martin?
I was just thinking when you were saying that, you know, sometimes you look it up in the dictionary, a lot of people say death is the cessation of existence. But as a Christian, if you believe James 2:26, that it is the parting of the spirit and the body, then that's really going to help a long way. You know, so you kind of have to define man first before you define death. And that's
good comments. Anybody else? How do you understand death?
Just me knowing that the day after the new body, all have this whole broken down body. All the pain, the sorrow, and the death. You all will be gone.
Isn't that a wonderful thought? I want to talk to you, and this gets back to James 2:26. I want to talk to you. Here's a chart that I have in my evangelism material, and I have this in the lesson on God. Here's a question for you. God is spirit. What does that mean? Well, don't all of you talk at once.
Body like he, in the sense of, he created the physical realm, but he's obviously beyond that. And so a lot of the things that we are used to in the physical world don't apply to him, as far as color, or weight, or shape, or things like that. But he's a spirit being.
All right, he's a spirit being. I think a lot of people would instantly say that means you can't see him, can't touch him. Any other comments? How do you explain spirit?
Yes.
You're talking about Jesus now. Yeah, that's Jesus. Yeah. God the Father. Let me tell you, when I talk to people about God, and I talk about God being a spirit, I get three words that people use to describe God as a spirit. I was talking about omnipresence the other day in that concept. Here are the three words that I get when people try to explain spirit to me. Air, gas, or Casper the Ghost. I'm serious. That's what Americans think God is. When you come to the concept of omnipresence that they've heard, and then I ask them, okay, if you think God's everywhere, how do you try to describe God? Air, gas, or a force? I'm going to tell you today that you can understand spirit, and brethren, we need to quit being confused and afraid. You can understand spirit just as well as you can understand anything the Bible teaches. Well, Stephen, how can I do that? I know this is there's a lot of detail in this chart, but I want you all to start right here in the left-hand corner with me. James 2:26 that Mark mentioned, God explains to us what death is. He says the body, what? Without the spirit is dead. What does that mean? Here's what it means, folks. When our spirit, the real us, the real who we are, you are not a body. Chuck, I'm going to use you. As you mentioned a minute ago, you see your body deteriorating. You see the struggles of cancer. You see the struggles of the impact on organs in your body. You see the fact of having to go through dialysis 5 days a week, and it beats on your body. Remember what I said yesterday. You are not disease. Vicky is not cancer. Okay? And the point I want all of you to understand is that our body, listen to me carefully, your body is not you. How did Paul describe it in 2 Corinthians 5? He said our body is a tabernacle. What's a tabernacle? It's a dwelling place. It's an impermanent dwelling place. It's not home. You know what? Americans have been taught we got to do everything in the world to keep our body going. I understand. But folks, you are a spirit living in a body. Now, watch this illustration with me. Here we are, we're all in Flatwoods this week, and I want you to imagine that Vicki and I get home Saturday, and I drop dead Saturday night. And some of you say, you know what, we're going to get in the car and go to Evansville just to support her. And so you walk in Boone Funeral Home, where we're going to be when we die. We've already got all the arrangements made. And so you walk in, and when you come in, there's my body lying in a casket. I want to ask you, what's the difference when you walk in a funeral home and you see my body lying there like that in a casket than right now? What's the difference? Good statement. I have left the body. Oh, by the way, when people walk up to a casket, what do they say? I didn't hear you. He just looks so good. Right. He just looks like he's laying there asleep. Right. Walk up and shake him. Only reason he looks good is because he got pink lights and a whole bunch of makeup on him. What has happened? What's the difference between me here today on Wednesday at Flatwoods and if you came Monday and saw my body in the casket? What's the difference? Separation of the spirit from the body. Now, y'all want to understand spirit? Let me help you. Make this simple. what are things that I do now? And I'm not talking about moving around. I'm not talking about breathing. By the way, Chuck, you may have caught me that when you said soul, I said spirit. The word soul in the Bible is used in two concepts. One, sometimes it seems to refer to that what I'm calling spirit, eternal nature. But I'm going to tell you something. It may be that in those verses that it's really talking about what soul means first time you're introduced to in the Bible. Watch this. I'm going to quote King James. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Soul there does not refer to our eternal nature. It refers to living. There's a unity between the spirit and the body, and therefore you have life. In the Bible, oftentimes soul is used to talk about that we're a living being. Yeah. Now watch this. You ever thought about this passage? What is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own? Now, we always preach that's talking about you go to hell. But ladies and gentlemen, soul can be talking about the concept, and oftentimes is in Scripture, of that unity, that harmony, my spirit is in my body. Watch this. Take that perception and think about this. What's a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What's it going to benefit me if I gain everything in the world and I leave the body? What am I taking with me? Nothing, honey. You're not taking anything with you. That's exactly right. And a lot of times somebody fight over. All right, but here's my question. When you see me here today, what are traits that I have today that I don't have when you see my body, when my spirit's left? And ladies and gentlemen, that'll help you understand what spirit is. So help me. What are things I have as traits right now? Don't make it hard. No. I'm talking about what's the difference in me here if you saw, in a few days, you saw my body in a casket. We'll get there later. Oh, I communicate with you. I talk with you. I listen. I process things. Do you understand? That's what a spirit is. What else? Intellect, thinking. How much intellect is in a casket? None. What else? Huh? Yeah, but that's just when I'm in the... That's, as I said a minute ago, that's when I'm in... My spirit's in the body. What else? What are traits that I have right now that are gone when you see my body if I'm dead? Memory? Okay. Hearing gets back to communication. What about emotions? They're all gone when my spirit left my body. What about the capacity to make choices? Do you all understand that the concept of a spirit, I can understand spirit means a being with capability to communicate, to reason, to hear, to react, to have intellect to make wise choices, to make choices, to have emotion. Oh, by the way, how many of those traits does God have? All of them. God doesn't live in a body. The Holy Spirit doesn't live in a body. They're spirit beings. Now, watch this. Here's what the Bible teaches. When I'm teaching people about God and God being a spirit, I use this chart, okay? But I do it for a reason, because I'm trying to get them to understand the seriousness of the future when we're just talking about God. Here's what in reality happens. I'm alive today. I die. What happens? My body is either cremated or I die in the ocean, worth putting in the ground. What happens when I die? The second I die, I go to the realm called Hades. Hades has two realms. One is torment. That's where sinners go. The other side is paradise. What did Jesus say to the thief? Today you'll be with me in that penitent thief. Jesus forgave. Okay? Where do Christians go when they die? I want you to watch something this morning. Do you realize if you or I drop dead in the next 2 minutes, the second you die, you're going to be the same being, just not in a physical body. You're going to have everything about you. Your memory, your who you are, your wisdom, all that. What does the Bible say about the story about the rich man and Lazarus? The angels came and carried him to Abraham's bosom. By the way, when the rich man's over here in torment and Lazarus is over here, did they have knowledge, yes or no? Did they know where they were? Did they have knowledge of who they were with? Now, I don't know how Lazarus knew Abraham. Did he have a sign on? I don't know, but he knew who Abraham was when he got there. He also knew that the rich man was over across this great gulf that he could look over there and see. The rich man could look back and see him. But he was in torment. Question, can we suffer outside the body? Yes. We can be in a place of suffering. Now, how long are the people going to stay in the Hadean realm? To the last day. By the way, people say to me, nobody knows when the world's going to end. I do. Jesus told me, John 6, 5 times, last day. I just don't know when the last day is. But it's pretty well pinned down. It's the last day. What's going to happen on the last day? He's going to come back and watch this. He's going to bring all the spirits that are in the Hadean realm out of that realm. Now, Chuck, I'm about to catch up with you. He's going to bring all of them and put them back into their bodies that are going to be resurrected as incorruptible bodies. Watch this. People say it's going to be a different body. No, that's not what the Bible says. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. The Lord is going to resurrect our bodies. Our spirit is going to be reunited to that body. What's going to happen? As all of those folks are being raised out of the grave, all those who are alive are going to be instantly changed and have resurrection bodies, eternal bodies. They'll all meet the Lord in the air for the judgment. By the way, the judgment is not how we depict it so many times as we preach about it. The judgment day is not a day where you're finally going to find out. You've been laying in the grave for 100 years, 10,000 years, and all of a sudden you're going to be resurrected and the Lord says, now you're going to go to heaven or hell. I want to tell you all something. If a person dies and 1 second later he's in torment, what does he know? He knows where he's going. If a person dies and a second later he's in paradise, what does he know? He's going to heaven. Well, somebody says, if that's true, then what in the world's the judgment day about? It's like in our court system, sentencing day. You have a trial and a guy's found guilty. Then what do we have? A sentencing day. What's sentencing day for? You're told what you get and why you get it. That's all the judgment day is in the Bible. It's not when I find out. I already know the second I die. Okay? But watch what's going to happen. All those who are resurrected are going to meet the Lord in the air. Those who are in torment and those who are alive, who are in sin, he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. All of those who are in paradise and all of those who are alive are his people, he's going to take with him back to heaven forever in the resurrection body. Remember what John said in 1 John 3:3? We don't know what we're going to be like, but we know that we shall be like him. Who is Jesus? part of the Godhead. Who is Jesus? He's a divine spirit who has lived in a fleshly body, watch this, from the second of his conception until his death. He left that that body how long? 3 days. Went to paradise. Then what happened? On the third day, on Sunday morning, he was resurrected in that resurrection body. Where is he today? 40 days later, he went to heaven in that resurrection body, and he's depicted in the Bible as in heaven. Watch this. You can see the prints of the nails in his hand and feet and the sword in his side. What are we going to look like in the resurrection body? I don't know. We're going to look like 20? Are we going to have all of our wrinkles and no hair? I don't know. But watch this. We're going to be in a resurrection body, and that body can feel blessing and joy, or it can feel pain. When I was a teenager, my biggest struggle was eternal and eternal hell. Because, folks, if I take this clicker and put it in the fire, what's going to happen? It melts and it's gone. Well, how can somebody be in hell forever in torment and agony without being gone? Okay, let me give you an illustration. I don't know the degrees, but I'm just going to pick some. If this was a piece of metal and it was forged at 1,000 degrees, what's going to happen to it if you put it in a fire that's 500 degrees? It's going to lay there and turn red, but it won't melt. So what's going to happen to a resurrection body that's incorruptible, that's immortal, that cannot be destroyed? It can be in torment and never destroyed. Does that make sense to you all? So, ladies and gentlemen, all of a sudden, when I understand myself, that I'm a spirit living in a body, that my body is not me, all of a sudden, I begin to make some sense of this. Now, watch this. How many of you have ever struggled with the concept of eternal? I have. Big time. Oh, by the way, a bunch of years ago, I was studying Acts 17, and it was like Paul took a sledgehammer and hit me right between the eyes and said, "It's about time you get it." Do you realize, and I'm going to tell you, this will make you uncomfortable for a minute till you think about it. Bring me a chair right here, Mark. I want to show you how I thought. Just bring it around here. I want to show you how I thought when I was a teenager. The Bible says in Genesis 1, 26-27, that we're made how? Come on. The Bible says we're made how? In the image of God. You know what I thought as a teenager? I thought, if I can understand God up here, then I can understand me down here because I'm made in the image of God. That was my process of trying to understand. But you know something amazing? All of a sudden, I went to Acts 17, and you know what Paul says? To those Athenians who are idolaters, he says, I want to tell you something. You can understand God when you understand yourself. Let me say that again. You can understand God when you look at yourself and understand yourself. You can understand all kinds of things about God. That sounds at first statement like heresy. It sounds like blasphemy. Well, let's think about it. Who's the lady that has the little three-month-old girl? Amy? Katie? I wish I had her this morning because I'd use her. What's the little baby's name? Laura, yeah. Listen what Paul said to the Athenians. Some of your poets said, we're his offspring. What's offspring mean? Descendants, children. Listen what he said. Therefore, because of the true statement that those poets made, We ought not to think of the Godhead like gold or silver or stone, something graven by art and man's device. What's he saying? When you see a living child, you know that a living child proves there are what? Living parents. If I came to Flatwoods and stood up this morning or tonight and took a Laura and held her up there and I said, I want you all to know this baby came from a rock. What would you all think about me? He's lost it. He's crazy. Because you know living babies come from living beings. Do you understand Paul's argument is living human beings come from a living God? You know what he's saying? If you understand yourself, you understand God. You're alive, that's proof that God's alive. Watch this. When I'm teaching this, I cover this up down here, so don't look at this right yet. You ever struggle with the concept of God? Here we are, September the 16th, 2015. What's eternal mean about God? Always was in the past, is, and always will be. And somebody says, I can't understand that, I can't relate to that, that makes no sense to me. Well, maybe you can. If you understand yourself. Really? JC, how old are you? 69 years ago, JC was conceived. 68 years ago, he was born. Here he is today, 68 years old. How long is he going to live? I don't know. I can take a guess he won't be another 100 years. I think I can probably get it right. JC's going to live however long he does, unless the Lord comes back, and when he dies, where is he going to go? To the Hadean realm. How long is he going to be there? He's going to be there until the Lord's second coming on the last day. Then where is he going to go? To heaven or hell for how long? Ladies and gentlemen, when you understand yourself, you can have connection to and relate to God. What's your little granddaughter's name back here?
Grace.
Grace, yeah. Hi, Gracie. Good to see you this morning, sweetie. You working on your homework? Huh? Hey, look up here talking to me, girl. Don't look at Grandma. Hey, Gracie, how old are you? Six. Do you understand? Here's a beautiful little girl placed in the hands of Mom and Daddy and Grandma and Grandma, and who will never have an end. Do you realize that 3 month little Alora? I tell mamas and daddies when they have a baby, do you understand what you have? God has placed in your hands a little eternal being for you to prepare for eternity. We're going to do that. Now, folks, if I understand these things, that what is death? I want you to listen to me. Death in the Bible is not cessation of life or existence. Death in the Bible is just transition. Now, we don't know what that means because we haven't transitioned. But do you understand? You're going to be the same you that you are right now. And you're simply going to leave this body and step into eternity. The same you, just as alert as you are right now. You're not going to lose your alertness. By the way, you know what? I figured out why I had a problem with eternal. Because when I was a boy in Powell County, everybody told me that everything in my sphere of knowledge has a beginning and has an end. You know what? They didn't mean to deceive me, but they didn't tell me the truth. They just didn't think. Does everything in our sphere of knowledge have a beginning and end, yes or no? No, we don't. And I find that's tremendous help for me to relate to God. Now watch this. We talked about dealing with illness Monday morning. It can be so, so tough. The dying process can be terrifying. Why? Because Chuck talked this morning about all the pain. Vicky has a pain pump in her. We talked to the pain pump doctor, who's one of our neighbors. And I will tell you that Vicky's biggest fear is if cancer gets into your liver, cancer gets into your brain, it can be awful. But you know what? Joe told her, he said, "Vicki, with this pain pump, I can keep you comfortable no matter how bad it is." That's a terrific comfort. But I remind you, death is not suffering. Suffering occurs in our bodies because of disease and pain. But ladies and gentlemen, death is simply a very easy transition of leaving this body and going to the Hadean realm. Now, we need to realize, secondly, what will help us to prepare for death? Realizing the blessings that death brings to the prepared. What blessings? Freedom from life's agony and sufferings. Paul talked about in Romans 8, in this body, the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Death, ladies and gentlemen, gives the Christian a reprieve from that agony. Old Lazarus had so many struggles in life. In paradise, he was free from them all. Watch this. The rich man had it made in this life, and the second he stepped into torment, he had agony. You know what? In reality, death is simply going home. Y'all like to go home when you travel? You got to travel somewhere. You like to go home? Yeah. But you understand? Here we are but straying pilgrims. We're just living in a impermanent tent. But death means for the Christian, I'm going home. Wow. I would encourage you to eagerly look forward to paradise. I would encourage you to eagerly look forward to heaven. The words of the song, "I Pray," become our motto more and more every day we live. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And you know what, folks? If we get that. Hey, now, listen. Why do none of us want to die? Why do none of us want our loved one to die? Because we don't want to be separated from them. All we think about is our connection with our families, with our mates, with our children, with our grandchildren. That's what we think about here, because that's all we've known. Number three, we get to go to see our dead loved ones and all the redeemed. Remember what David said when that child died in 2 Samuel 12:23. Now he's dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. I think we ought to consider people who've gone on before us and think about, the second I die, it's going to be a reunion with the redeemed. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the blessings of death is heaven holds all to me. I hope and pray that you and I can look at life and say, you know what? I'm looking for a place where God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There's no more death. There's no more separation. There's no sorrow. There's no crying. And for some of you in this room, listen to me. There's no more pain. All the former things are gone. Now, tell me that's not beautiful. Here are some things that you and I need to treasure as we think about death. We need to treasure God's promises to his people. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Now listen. I know some brethren who fight like dogs and cats over when you die, do you go straight to heaven? You go to the denominational funeral, and every denominational preacher in the world preaches somebody straight into heaven the second they die. The Bible doesn't teach that. I know some brethren think it does. I know verses like, what did Paul say? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm in a struggle between being here and being with the Lord. But if we go straight to heaven when we die, why did Jesus say, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Why does he need to come again if I die and we'll go to heaven? And I know some brethren take Ephesians chapter 4 and claim that Hades, at least paradise, ceased to exist when Jesus came out of the grave. Well, if that's true, I'd like for somebody to read Revelation chapter 4 and the first seals. You remember those first horses that came out, you know, and the fourth rider and the fourth horse, and what was the rider that was on the horse? Anybody remember? It was death. And what was following death, by the way, the picture in Revelation is God's people are being killed by Domitian because of their faith. What followed the horse that the rider was death? Anybody remember? Hades followed like a street sweeper picking up the dead. You know what? Somebody says paradise ceased when Jesus was resurrected. Well, when was Jesus resurrected? 33 A.D. about. John says in 96 A.D. that Hades was following, picking up the righteous who were killed. Interesting to me. Now, question. How do we prepare for death? Number one, prepare spiritually. You and I simply need to say, you know what? I'm concerned about being a Christian. I'm concerned about being a faithful Christian. I'm concerned about being a submissive Christian. We've talked about this week. Prepare spiritually. Secondly, I would encourage you that we need to prepare financially. Now, this gets into a different realm than a lot of the biblical stuff. You need to think about preparing yourself financially for your death. What does that mean? You need to have a will. People like a lot of our children who have our grandchildren. I want to tell you something. You need to encourage your kids to have a will. It's important. Well, my parents didn't have a will. I don't need one. You really do, folks. It just makes things a whole lot simpler. You need to have a will. While I'm talking about this about financially, let me step aside there a little bit and just talk about, I'll do that in a minute. I would encourage you as you prepare financially that you need to be saying, do I have some kind of an insurance policy or something that's going to help bury me when I die? Question. Here I am, I'm 80 years old, I don't have a funeral plot, I don't have any preparations with a funeral home, and so I die, and my kids have to go and make all the arrangements. Question, what's it going to cost to bury somebody? Give me a ballpark in Ashland. That's a pine box. You all been through that with your dad recently. Did you know in Evansville you have to go buy a cemetery plot? What's a cemetery plot cost in Ashland? $2,000? Not really. Depends where you are. In Evansville, a mile from our church building, it's $1,500 for one cemetery plot. Well, watch this. If you're a husband and wife, you're going to buy one. You don't buy two or more, okay? So all of a sudden, if it's $1,500, now you've spent $3,000 and you hadn't done anything. What's a funeral going to cost? Well, some funeral homes in Kentucky, $8,000 or $9,000. In Evansville, time you have a funeral. In that funeral, you talk about the flowers. And I don't know what you all do here, but in Evansville, I encourage people to get the flowers and everything. All of it done through the funeral home, pay in one place. When I first went to Evansville, people went to the florist, then they went, somewhere to get clothes and all this kind of stuff. Do it all, let the funeral directors have all the bill together and pay it at one time. Let me just simply say this. My interns, we have summer interns, normally I take them to the funeral home, and I take them as if their dad or mom has died and go to the funeral home, and we sit down with funeral directors and let them feel what it's like for a family to work through it. I have them on the way to guess. The highest guess before this year has been something like $2,000 or $3,000, and I just laugh at them. The guy this year said $5,000. The reality is, folks, if you talk about buying two cemetery plots, here's what else people don't think about. What about buying a stone? You know what a stone costs for two people? Just depends how much you want to spend. But you're going to spend something, probably $3,000 to $5,000 anyway. What I'm saying to you is, oh yeah, most cemeteries you've got to have something to put the casket in. By the way, what do caskets cost? You can go anywhere from something that's very lightweight metal, $2,500, all the way to a wood one that's $4,000 or $5,000. If you really want to get put in well, they can put you in a copper one and they can charge you $20,000 just for the casket. Now listen to me. If your husband or wife dies, I know all of you want to be respectful. But you know what, folks? I'll be crass here, but be careful, because what you're doing is putting money in the grave and you're never going to see it again. So you got to be wise. Vicki and I, when our cancer came back after 2 years, I looked at her and I said, you know what, it's time for us to just sit down and say, let's go deal with it. And so what we did is we went to the funeral home, we made funeral preparations. By the way, you can negotiate, don't you? If you do it now, you can negotiate with these guys. I went to the guy where Vicki wanted to go, and he said, I can't do it for that. And I said, fine, I'm not asking you to do anything you can't, but you know, we'd like to be here, but if you can't, we'll go somewhere else. You can negotiate with these people. Secondly, if you prepay it, and I would encourage a lot of you to think about prepaying for funerals. There's our stone. When are we going to be put in the ground by that? I don't know. But there's our cemetery plots and our stone. It's already paid for. Funerals are paid for. When we die, all our kids are going to have to do is finish up some stuff on the obituary, and that's done. Oh, here's you another interesting one. What does it cost to put an obituary in the paper? Well, that's all free. What's the paper in Ashland? What's it called? No, what's the paper called? The Daily Independent? Well, you know, the Daily Independent, you know, that's a community paper, and you know, they just tell stuff that happens to the community, and you know, they're all for the community. No, they're not. They're all for making money, folks. And it's by the inch. Did you know just a little tiny one like that? That much is probably going to be $200, $250. And I see some of these people put in a column and a half, and I think, well, they either got money or no sense. One of the two. It's amazing what you're going to end up spending when you talk about doing funerals. And so, by the way, let me tell you what I did. A lot of people don't think about those kind of things. When we went and bought cemetery plots, our plots cost us $600 a piece. We went to a cemetery. Vicki wanted to be on a hill. She grew up in the hills in Virginia. That's fine. $600. You know what I did? I told the guy, I want to pay the closing I want to pay the opening and closing costs now. He said, well, people don't generally do that. I said, I don't care. I want to do it now. Why did I do that? A whole lot cheaper today than it will be in 5 years or whenever. Oh, don't die on Friday and think you're going to get buried on Sunday. It's going to cost more. Wait till Monday. You're not going to feel it anyway. Now, I was asked the other day to address one more topic, and I want to do that just a little bit. And that is, folks, we need to prepare legally. What do I mean by preparing legally? Well, you need to think about a will. And listen, if you have special things that you want in your will, if there are people you want to have certain things, identify them. Write out something. Go to an attorney. By the way, I had somebody this week. They went to one of the best attorneys in Evansville to do a will. Cost them $7,500 to do a will. Yeah, I know. That guy's high. Well, find somebody you can do a will cheaply with. You may want to make some codicils to that will. Here's some questions I have for you. When you do a will, you as a husband and wife, how are you typically going to do it? If I die, everything goes to Vicki. If she dies, everything goes to me. What happens if both of you are killed instantly in a car wreck? Who's it go to? You need to understand, and back to some of those things about arrangements, do you realize you have to have a death certificate for the Social Security Administration? You have to have a death certificate sometimes for some companies that you may have connections with. You have to have a death certificate for every company that you have insurance with or stocks with. Now, if you have several stocks in one company, you only need one. You need beforehand to be thinking about, how many do I think I would need? Again, let the funeral home do it for you. They go to the courthouse every day. You don't know where to go in the courthouse to get that done. You're too emotional about things to worry about that. Let them do it. What does a death certificate cost in Ashland? I think in Evansville they were $10, and I think now they're $15 or $17.50, something like that.
Well, yeah.
Depends on where you are.
Usually people get 4 or 5.
Yeah, at least. I encourage people all the time to get 4 or 5. And again, if you've got a number of different stocks and things, it can go a long way above it. Now, some of you have done some of this, and some of you ask about it, so I didn't have this in the notes, but let me just at least just talk about it a second. What about some of the legal things about preparing legally for like advanced directives and so forth? Do you know what I'm talking about? A living will? Power of attorney? Explain. Understand, when you go to the hospital, do they ask you, do you have a living will?
Yes.
Most of the time you go to the hospital today, they're going to ask you that. Be careful about what you sign. Explain why. Let me ask you a question. What if it's you and you're in good health and you say, I don't want any machines on me? Or do you really mean that? What if it's a grandchild? I don't want any machines on my grandchild. What if they're in an accident and they simply need some help to get back from being hurt back to normal? Do you want some machines on you? Be careful what you sign. I'm going to sign something that says I don't want any nutrition and I don't want any hydration. You won't get anything. You really mean that? Now listen, here's another side. I'm going to blow your mind. Nurses can talk about this a whole lot better than Stephen can. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm not going to let my loved one starve to death, or I'm not going to let them be without hydration. And I've seen people sit by a bed with a spoon trying to force food down a person's mouth, or I've seen people trying to make somebody drink, listen to me, who doesn't have the capacity to deal with the fluid. Do you know where it goes? In the lungs. And in essence, they're going to die more quickly. You need to ask questions of people who understand what you don't know. But sometimes trying to force food and water in a person, folks, is in essence, I don't want to be unkind, but in essence is almost torturing them. Sometimes you're dragging out the inevitable. So I'm saying to you, when we come to some of these things financially, we need to prepare legally, but at the same time, we need to understand when you get there, you may need to have some more information. And Mark, for you, this is where preachers have to be an ear and a voice of reason and communicate with the medical staff and see what's going on to be able to give wise direction to that family. Because I'm telling you, when people are in the midst of somebody's in critical shape and they're about to die, they don't think rationally. And sometimes with people, it's, I just don't want my loved one to die. And they're doing everything they can to stop it, and they're not going to stop it. So you need to be careful. In conclusion, you know, folks, we're all on a rendezvous of death. And the answer is, what do we need to do? We need to prepare now. We need to have great seriousness about it. We need to have attentiveness to it. But listen to me. I think what will help us here is if we understand what death is. Where I was earlier in the lesson. I think if we understand that, all of a sudden, death, you know, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 was talking about resurrection. At the end of the chapter, he talks about death being this great enemy. Death, in reality, is not the Christian's enemy. Oh, why do we die? Because Adam and Eve sinned, and we lost the right to the tree of life, and so aging and death is a lot of the human race. But do you understand? When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and immediately God made a promise, the seed of woman is going to come and defeat everything that Satan brought. Do you understand? In Jesus coming and living and dying and being resurrected, there's God's answer for sin. There's God's answer for death. There's God's answer for eternity. And so you and I, yes, we need to have great seriousness. We have great attentiveness to it, preparation. But on the other hand, almost joy instead of terror. If you have a loved one who's about to die, please, please, if they're a faithful child of God, don't beg and plead with them not to go. Give them the freedom to go. Do you realize it can be the greatest blessing you can give them? It's not awful. For somebody who's suffering, it's a wonderful blessing. For those of us who remain, I'm going to tell you. 7 years ago, when every day Vicky was just headed downhill and I thought it was all over, I was trying to prepare myself for her to die. I suspect some of you tried to do that. How you do that, I don't know. I don't know. But all I know is it'll probably be harder for those of us who are left than for those who die in the Lord. Let them go. Let them know it's okay. And you alongside the Lord and alongside brethren who'll be there to support you and family who'll be there to support you, you can make it. People always have. And we can too. Even though it's awful. Last comment today is be prepared so that death is not a horror for you or for your loved ones, but rather death is simply the transition when we get out of a body that's restrictive, a body that's brought aging and disease and trouble. And death is a beautiful transition for the Christian. O grave, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death for the Christian is victory. But it only is because of Jesus and His life and His death and His resurrection and our being His children. Okay. Reactions? Comments? Thoughts? Chuck, this is going to be hard for you, maybe, but maybe not. Would you lead us in a closing prayer?
Thank you.